The American walks every day, normal, going to work. He's walking downtown in Manhattan, and all of a sudden, two planes hit the Twin Tower, and they have no clue why would somebody do such a thing.
Deliberate and deadly attacks, which were carried out yesterday against our country, were more than acts of terror. They were acts of war.
Radical Islam has declared the war. Radical Islam is at war now with the West.
When I saw the second airplane hit, I knew jihad has come to America.
Wake up, America. It's time to rise and protect our American way of life. You could be offended. In fact, you will be offended by the content of the show. You're listening to UAC Radio.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vito Esposito Show on Global Patriot Radio. This is Vito. Our call number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I apologize because I'm kind of flying a little bit blind tonight, but I'm joined by No Pork Eating American Lover.
Hey, Vito, how are you? It is great to be here, as always.
Well, I'm making doing here. Cable's been out all freaking day.
Well, you got to pay your bill.
Well, you know, it's not my fault. It isn't my fault. For gas, it cost me an additional $43 to fill up my vehicle. I mean, or do you pay a bill? Or it was an 8 cent ponies, you know, and mozzarella. You gotta go double mozzarella. Go, but that's still up by another buck. Man, can't even cut the cheese in the bus more. Ow! No? Hello?
Yep, I'm here. You're cutting in and out. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
My side or yours?
That's probably my side. I got the cable's been really bad. So let me see if I take off the, I got to get that headset, and I don't know if that'll work. But, breaking news, Elon Musk buys Twitter. Did you see that?
I did, and that is huge.
Yeah, isn't it great? I mean, the leftists going crazy, needing a safe room because Twitter censoring speech with those who didn't align with the fascist left-wing views. And the deal is reported to be roughly $44 billion. So the fascists on the left are going to profit for being fascist, using the evil capitalistic system for their personal gains. And, you know, it goes back to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago and last week with Dr. Milton Friedman when he was appearing on Phil Donahue. And, you know, Phil, the big leftist at that point, was bashing capitalism, and he went into his anti-capitalist rant in the first 15 seconds. Do you have that clip?
When you see around the globe the maldistribution of wealth, the desperate plight of millions of people in underdeveloped countries, when you see so few haves and so many have-nots, when you see the greed and the concentration of power within, did you ever have a moment of doubt about capitalism and whether greed's a good idea to run on?
Well, first of all, tell me, is there some society you know that doesn't run on greed? You think Russia doesn't run on greed? You think China doesn't run on greed? What is greed? Of course, none of us are greedy. It's only the other fellow who's greedy. The world runs on individuals pursuing their separate interests. The great achievements of civilization have not come from government bureaus. Einstein didn't construct his theory under order from a bureaucrat. Henry Ford didn't revolutionize the automobile industry that way. In the only cases in which the masses have escaped from the kind of grinding poverty you're talking about, the only cases in recorded history are where they have had capitalism and largely free trade. If you want to know where the masses are worst off, it's exactly in the kinds of societies that depart from that. So that the record of history is absolutely crystal clear that there is no alternative way so far discovered of improving the lot of the ordinary people that can hold a candle to the productive activities that are unleashed by a free enterprise system.
But it seems to reward not virtue as much as ability to manipulate the system.
And what does reward virtue? You think the communist commissar rewards virtue?
Sure.
You think a Hitler rewards virtue? You think, excuse me, if you'll pardon me, do you think American presidents reward virtue? Do they choose their appointees on the basis of the virtue of the people appointed or on the basis of their political clout? Is it really true that political self-interest is nobler somehow than economic self-interest? You know, I think you're taking a lot of things for granted. And just tell me where in the world you find these angels who are going to organize society for us.
Well,
I don't even trust you to do that.
That's one of the greatest clips, Al. I mean, Dr. Milton Friedman nails it in 2 minutes. Talking to a leftist who tries to go into that, well, you know, what about the greed of capitalism and the haves and the have-nots, as if communism is some sort of utopia. And it's just like nothing, there's nothing different from Twitter or Facebook. All of these utopian leftists who think that they live in this Garden of Eden and that they want to control, you know, a person's speech because they don't agree with it. But hey, capitalism has gotten Twitter 40, hasn't it? What we're seeing, a bunch of communist hypocrites, the damn communists.
Well, let me tell you, I can actually give you four good reasons. First, it's morally wrong to take anything that doesn't belong to you, and having the state do the taking doesn't magically make it okay or right. Second, socialism has been tried repeatedly and has never worked anywhere. Yet each new crop of elites think they can enact socialism, and this time it'll be different. The stick the socialists fork back into the electrical outlet expecting a totally different outcome, but it always ends up the same. And third, when people become reliant on the state, that reliance erodes their self-respect, their self-esteem, their self-worth, their work ethic, and their independence. And finally, Vito, Socialism promotes class envy and class warfare. The makers resent the takers for draining their resources, and the takers resent the makers because no matter how much the takers take, they always want more. They erroneously believe that the markets have an abundant supply from which they should be continuously compelled to give. And that is the problem. Like you said, these Marxists want a utopia that will never exist.
Yeah, you know, you the last point was absolutely perfect to end with. The Marxists love class envy and class warfare, and that's exactly what we're seeing. You know, we were trying to mend those fences and, you know, bring it together and kind of erode that toxic mentality of the communists, of the left. And then Biden gets in. Now it's the same old class envy and class warfare. It's the same old envy of class warfare. Like, okay, the haves and the have-nots, and the rich have to pay their fair share. And what about corporate welfare? You know, how about the hypocrisy of corporate welfare right now? You know, we've heard the demonization in the mouth by these leftists, including Biden, about we have to make sure that corporations pay their fair share and pay taxes, which is a flat-out lie, by the way. But isn't it ironic now? In Florida, with the state legislature not giving Reedy Creek its tax exempt share for their property taxes, and now they'll be taxed on everything, including the Reedy Creek division, which includes fire, water, and telephone, by the way. Okay. What are the leftists doing? They're now protesting the state of Florida. Oh, Ron DeSantis is bad, and the state legislature is bad. In the meantime, corporate welfare was just axed, and these utopian communists are all supporting the very corporation that they've been bitching about for the last 20 years. How ironic is that?
If I remember right, I remember these same workers, these same Marxists complaining about, oh, Walt Disney's got to pay the $15 an hour to every worker and give them health care and this and that. And they were hostile towards Walt Disney World because they didn't do enough. And now they're going to have to pay taxes like everybody else, and now they're protecting them. That is how hypocritical these Marxist bastards are.
Yeah, suddenly corporate greed goes out.
Yeah, it's goofy. Scale. It's just goofy.
It's a Mickey Mouse operation when it comes to the left, isn't it? The Democrat Party is a Mickey Mouse operation. It's a small world, isn't it?
It's goofy. Effing goofy.
All right, we're going to duck the question here. Hey, quick news, PGA news. The Zurich Open was played in New Orleans over the weekend. This is the only team event. It's a two-man team. The team of Lee and Patrick Cantlay dominated the emergency. They're shooting a four ball on Thursday and then stretched the lead by shooting a 60 in the same four-ball format on Saturday. Yesterday, it was a modified and a more difficult also. Shoffley and Cantlay had a round. They shot an even par 7, and they ended up winning by 2 strokes. So congratulations to Xander Shoffley and Patrick Cantlay. And Shoffley really needed this win to get an official PGA Tour win. He hasn't won in a couple of years. He won the Olympics, but he's not won a PGA Tour event in about 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And quick LP.
That wasn't all.
LPGA,
did you like
dude.
The format? Did what? You like the? Did you like the format? I wasn't real crazy about the format.
I like to see the. You know what? As much as the alternate shot is, you know, it's. I like the alternate shot because now you're relying on your partner, and then the skills come into play. You know, Shoffley couldn't hit the backside of a barn if it wasn't for on the four ball, Cantlin was making everything. But, you know, there's a little more tension in the alternate shot because – and now your partner has to put you in a good spot. You have to hit greens. If you don't hit a green, your partner has to chip, you know, well. So, yeah, it's format. It's a skills format.
Yeah. So what's with the LPGA?
Yeah, the LPGA. It was played at the famed Wilshire Country Club. It's one of the oldest country clubs in the ladies have been playing there for a couple of years. By the young lady, 23 years old, surged ahead on Saturday, finishing with a four-shot lead. And she was Jin Young Ko is the world number one player. And Ko, she took an 8 par 4. Man, it was like on the 7th, she absolutely imploded. And I hope this doesn't come back and reverberate for the rest of the year because Ko is very talented. But how to open Sunday, she stretches the lead to 6 shots. She's got a 4-shot lead. She drains a 40-foot downhill, breaking to the left putt for an eagle. This young lady is quite impressive. Her name is Nasa Hataoka. She now has 6 LPGA Tour victories, and she has 5 Japanese LPGA victories. And, you know, we don't praise the women enough, but this is really a good tournament, and this young lady, Nasa Hataoka from Japan, is someone to watch. She won the DIO Implant LA Open at the Wilshire Country Club, which the course opened again, as I said, in 1908. So I want to just give a shout-out to the ladies because it was a three-hour time difference. So once they got done with the Zurich Open, you could watch pretty much the whole LPGA tournament from about the fourth hole on. So it was nice. Got my fill of golf yesterday.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Some Major League Baseball news. I think you got a clip. The Cabrera clip.
Oh. Yes. Yep. Yeah, this is Cabrera. Now, he used to play with the Yankees, didn't he?
No, he played with the Frogs.
Oh, here we go.
Right side, there it is! History tells it, the third Tiger to ever do it!
You know, I've not been watching really much Major League Baseball, you know, kind of with they've kind of pissed everybody off. But, you know, to know that Cabrera was on the verge of becoming just the 33rd player in Major League Baseball history to attain the 3,000 hit mark, I like Miguel Cabrera. He played with the Florida Marlins, was a very good player with the Marlins, got traded to the Detroit Tigers after his contract was up or during his contract. Anyways, Cabrera is 39 years old. He has 502 home runs. He gets his 3,000 hit yesterday. The place went nuts, and I'm sure Big may have been watching it. Bigfoot was watching it as well. You know, I know he's a baseball fan. But this 3,000 hit will ensure that Miguel Cabrera will have a place in the Baseball Hall of Fame after retirement. There's no doubt. I mean, the guy has a World Series ring. This is the other impressive thing about Miguel Cabrera is he's a Triple Crown winner. And how rare is that? In 1967, Collier Yastrzemski was the last American League player, actually the last Major League Baseball player, to win the Triple Crown. The Triple Crown in hitting, your batting average, home run, and RBIs. You lead all three of those categories, you win the Triple Crown. Well, Collier Yastrzemski did it in 1967. Miguel Cabrera did it in 2012. 47 years later? I mean, this is how talented Miguel Cabrera is. So he has 4 batting titles. He currently has 502 home runs, and now he can add the 3,000 hits. to his resume. You know, winners of the Triple Crown included Carl Yastrzemski, the great Frank Robinson, Mickey Mantle, Ted Williams of the Red Sox, Ducky Medwick, Lou Gehrig of the Yankees, Jimmy Fox, Roger Hornsby, and Detroit Tiger Ty Cobb, the Georgia Peach. So he's in very good company, Miguel Cabrera. It's only 27 players in MLB history have won the batting Triple Crown title, and Cabrera did it again in 2012, 45 years after Carl Yastrzemski. So it's a feat that doesn't come around very often, and for a player to attain that and now 3,000 hits with 500-plus home runs, the man should be enshrined in the Hall of Fame on the first ballot, and I would say unanimously as well. So congratulations, Miguel Cabrera.
Yep, quite a feat.
Well, I don't know what kind of shoes he wears, but it was.
Big shoes to fill.
That's right. Really cool. Speaking of Phil, Holger sent me a text yesterday. Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods both have agreed to play or have signed up for the U.S. Open. So should be interesting. Phil Mickelson making his return after a self-imposed hiatus.
Good. I'll be glad to see him back. He's been beating himself up unnecessarily. Yeah.
Yeah, going in bed with the oppressive Saudis is interesting. Interesting ordeal there. That's just my opinion. I'm not sure Greg Norman was the right man to follow, but you know, Norman's got a lot of success and can't, you know, he's got great business acumen. So, I don't know. I just think, poor Lefty, man, he took it on the chin and losing his sponsors, but he's coming out of the woodwork. Him and Tiger are going to be playing the U.S. Open, which is going to be great. And it's going to be, I think it's in Brookline, Massachusetts, as a matter of fact, where Francis, we met one in 1908, the greatest game ever played. Fantastic movie. You ever get to see it. Mm. Amateur Francis, we met wins the U.S. Open, beats Harry Vardon and Ted, I forgot the guy's name. I keep forgetting it. But anyways, beats Harry Vardon, two Englishmen that were supposed to dominate the U.S. Open. And this young man from Brookline, Massachusetts, kicks the Limey's butt. Called the greatest game ever played.
and it was
hey, you got a story
great
about
movie.
The Yankees.
You should watch it.
Yeah. You got a story about the Yankees?
It seems the Yankee fans called the worst fan base on the planet after pelting opposing players in what's titled an ugly incident. The New York Yankees are playing the Cleveland Indians, aka the Guardians. I refuse to call them the Guardians. They are the Cleveland Indians now and forever. And the New York Yankees won the game 5-4, and then the fans were throwing beer and sodas and other things at the Cleveland Indian players. And a little bit of difficulty ensued after that, and the poor Yankee players are now on the level of fans of the Philadelphia Eagles. Not a good day for the Yanks.
Well, you know, this reminds me of back in the 70s. I mean, he was playing with the California Angels at the time. He was playing first base, and Wally Joyner said he felt something hit his back, and he looks down, and someone threw a steak knife from the stands, hits him in the back. Now, that's pretty. You know, vicious in my opinion. And even though he's the opposing player, that's some psycho throwing a steak knife at the first baseman. But he said he felt something hit him in the back, and it was a steak knife. It's like you got to be kidding!
That's a crazy story. Luckily, the guy didn't have a hatchet.
Yeah, right. Yeah, 1978, I think it was. I think it was 78 when Chris Chambliss hit the home run. That Yankees won the World Series or was it the playoff game. Anyways, Chris Chambliss hits the home run and he has to get a police escort around the
He barely got around. Oh, this is nothing new. Not that I'm fictions, by the way, but to say that this is like bad, this just happened. This is a common occurrence in New York City.
Well, it shows that New York fans remember, they know their history, and they love their Yankees. Because that factoid was lost on most every sports writer that I read involving the incident. It was history repeating itself. No more, no less.
Absolutely. No more, no less. Yep, it's not shocking. I remember being in the stands at Shea Stadium, Benzene level. Remember, it was the Pittsburgh Pirates, and all of a sudden I felt like a coldness go down my back. Somebody from the upper mezzanine was throwing drinks and hot dogs, hit me and three people that was in my party, hits us in the back of the head, goes down our stack. I mean, it was already kind of breezy up in the mezzanines, but they were throwing all kinds of shit coming down and people getting hit in the back, in the face. I mean, that was a friggin' Mets game. Maybe they knew I was a Yankee fan. I shouldn't have been there. I don't know. Hey, but the tickets were for
You got to go.
Yeah. Senator, longtime senator from Utah, passed away at the age of 88 years old. So the longtime establishment Senator Orrin Hatch, Republican, passed away at the age of 88.
Yep, he was a true establishment guy. He did speak up a couple of times, but I don't know. I wasn't a big Orrin Hatch fan.
May he rest in peace. You know, he was a lifelong politician. But what did it for me was when something happened in the Senate and he said, if anybody does blah, blah, I'm going to get so mad, I will do it. He didn't do anything. I thought, there you go. That's it. That's supposedly a two-party system, and he was no different than Ted Kennedy or these other, you know, leeches in Congress. But you know, he was a voice for the conservatives in a sense. Some good judges came out of it, like Clarence Thomas. He did stand up a court. So you know, just he's gone. Emmanuel Macron beat Le Pen, and he gets reelected as Prime Minister of France. No surprise there. Once it came down to Macron, she was grossly disliked. She pissed off the people of NATO, and of course she was seen as a maverick. And you know what happened? The establishment doesn't like mavericks. They'll find a way to dispose of you. Labeled a far right winger, as it was. So McCurry, how many years of the terms in is it 4 years or 3 years? Don't know. Don't really care. Hello?
France is done. You keep fading in and out, but that might be on my end. But France is done. They're cooked. They are now going to be a Muslim nation in the next decade. It's a sad day. I like Marie Le Pen. I wish she had won. She probably could have turned France around and gave them their balls back. But all I can say is,
yeah.
Au revoir, Zane, France.
Au revoir, Zane. Get your croissant and go down to the Arc de Trump and the Trump de Arc, which they're going to probably rename it because it has the name Trump in it, so they'll probably get rid of that. Who knows? Anyways, but so Macron is back, and I'm sure the establishment will enjoy that immensely. The chief architect of Space Force resigns. Did you see this story?
No, do tell.
Yeah, so the chief architect of Space Force, I can't pull the story up, but I did put some notes down. His name is Dunlap. He issued a warning. He resigns after 3 years. And this guy, Dunlap, he's the one that crafted Space Force and got it rolling. I mean, they had no phones, they had nothing, and so he basically took that organization, started it from scratch, and he left leaving a dire warning. He's the second individual to leave Space Force, but he recalls how on the first day of work, I arrived to find no budget, no authority, no alignment of vision, no people, no computers, no networks, a leaky ceiling, a broken. Writing this, I received notification that the phone lines are down at the Pentagon IT help desk. Phone lines down in 2022, folks? The phone lines are down in the Pentagon. You know, does this describe the Biden-Harris feckless regime? You know, it's a feckless regime of destruction. How in the world can the phone lines be down at the U.S. Pentagon? How can that happen? I mean, this is incredible. And so this guy, Dunlap's resignation letter, echoed the sentiments of former Pentagon official Nicholas Kylan, who quit in protest in September of 2021 after expressing frustration with America's lagging technological competitiveness. And again, being technological competitive, again, it's make America mediocre again with Joe Biden. He said it was a foregone conclusion that communist China will supplant the United States as the world's preeminent superpower because it's already on track to overtake the United States when it comes to and cyber warfare. We have years trialing times in October. Right now, it's already a done deal. It's already over, in my opinion. And as a reminder, the Biden administration has made combating climate change and promoting transgenderism, not defending the homeland, the centerpieces of national military strategy. Folks, this is treason. And the current acting president of the United States is committing treason. Corrupt body to extremists, to the Marxists who promote and propagate the false religion of climate change. And to eradicate economic standards in the name of toxic wokeness. This is precisely why our foreign adversaries are likely to usurp the United States technology, financially, and socially. And what do you think of those comments, Al, by Chalen?
Well, I think you nailed it. It's interesting. Hopefully, I don't know, Trump will hopefully be back to put Space Force back in the right mission. But Elon Musk has also had a big space announcement as well. That he's planning on loading the Mars fleet into Earth orbit and then 1,000 ships depart over 30 days every 26 months to Mars.
Whoa.
Yeah, which is huge. I'm going to get my seat. Now, I might be 90 years old when it happens, but maybe I'll have an electric walker.
Hey. Global Patriot Radio will be a first. You'll be broadcasting from Mars.
That's right, with my electric Tesla Walker, and it'll be exciting. So who knows, in another 30 years, we may all be on Mars, those of us who are left.
That's true. That's, you know what, that's pretty true.
Yep.
A mutual friend
Fly
of ours
Braniff.
Says if we can Fly Braniff.
Hmm?
What Easter?
So what does our mutual friend say?
our mutual friend says if we can get to 20, what do you say? If we can stay alive to 2045, you'll live to over 100 years old. That'll be a new norm. 2045 or 2037. Maybe it was 2037. So, yeah, because 15 years. The thing is, if you live 15 more years, mm-hmm. You'll be able to live a quality of life at least to age 100. So the average age will go to like 120 years old, 130 years old with technology.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Holy cow. My father-in-law is turning 100 in a couple of months, which is pretty amazing.
Oh, my gosh. That's great.
Isn't that fantastic? He actually sat in on the Nuremberg trials on his way out of World War II in Germany.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Does he have any kind of cool stories about what he saw and what he thought of the Nazis at that time who are on trial, what they look like, and you know, how was their demeanor?
He wasn't that close. He was in the gallery. I guess it was in a huge venue that he sat in and watched it for a few hours. And so it was just being there was pretty amazing. And then the next thing he knows, he's back home.
Huh. Yeah, I find World War II fascinating. My dad had served in World War II, and he was a prison guard at one point. And I remember him describing, he goes, he had no ill will towards the German soldier. And the way he put it was kind of really surprised me at the comment. And he said, the German soldier was just doing his job like the American soldier was. I thought, well, that's pretty prophetic. He says, but the Nazi, there was no love loss for the Nazi. He could have put a bullet right between the Nazi's eyes. He goes, the look that the Nazi officers would give you who were imprisoned, they would like pierce, they would burn you, you know, with their eyes. And he goes, I had no love lost for the Nazis, which I thought was an interesting statement.
Well, they were evil sons of bitches, the things they did.
They were. Huh. Well, you know, I don't know how well I'm coming through, and I guess I'm cutting in and out.
Crystal clear right now.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
All right. How's the chat room looking?
Let's see. Chat room is looking good. We got duck and dogs moving forwards. Annie's there. So, hello, all.
Great. Hello, everybody.
And our phone number to call in. Yeah, our phone number to call in is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. So you got something rattling around inside your brain? Give us a call. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, and before we take any phone calls, I do want to cover this next part. I was reading bigfootsplace.blogspot.com on Friday and Saturday, as I always do, but in it they were I came across two stories, and the first story was in Robert Spencer's Jihad Watch, and Robert Spencer wrote about Hillary Rodham Clinton and the issue of free speech. And then in going through, after I read the story, I was going through some links, and there was a link to a story on free speech with Barack Hussein Sator Obama, and it was in Pajama Media. And I looked, and lo and behold, Robert Spencer was the author of that article. And I'll tell you, that got me – it got me incensed. It got me really thinking about our constitutional republic. So much so, I woke up this morning at 1:30, and I couldn't sleep because it really it really bothers me, what I read about Hillary Rodham Clinton's comments, the tactic she, Hussein Sator, Obama are going around the country or around social media in trying to demonize speech in America. So the article with Hillary Rodham Clinton, the Russian hoaxer Hillary decries online disinformation. And you'll notice that in the subject line for today's show, we're talking about disinformation. Well, the campaign by the Democrat Communist Party, the Democrat Party, who I refer to now as the Democrat Communist Party, is to censor speech that they don't agree with. And our founding fathers are pretty clear. When they drafted the U.S. Constitution, they made sure there was a Bill of Rights, 10 Bill of Rights. And they were quite clear, especially with the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And what we've seen since Barack Hussein Sator Obama has been president of the United States has been a usurping of those Bill of Rights, those rights under the First Amendment, all five components of what we saw during the pandemic under Biden-Harris was an abridging of our rights. And now the left wing is amping up this campaign of disinformation by going after anybody who doesn't agree with their warped way of thinking, with their radical ideology. The DNC has distributed its talking points in the latest sound bites. It's not good. And this is what gets me, Al. This is what really it enraged me. Frankly, it's downright frightening. The new plan is being done right under our noses. The efforts are anti-American. They are anti-constitutional and being implemented by a former United States president and a failed corrupt twice candidate for president who was a former Secretary of State and a U.S. Senator, Hillary Rodham Clinton. And let me tell you, both Barack Hussein Sator Obama and Hillary Rodham Clinton both took an oath of office as United States senators and as president and Secretary of State to protect and defend the United States Constitution. Their attacks are on free speech. You have Barack Hussein Sator Obama going around trying to redefine speech in America. Now, both Clinton and Obama within the past week and weekend have been launching their propaganda tours using the slogans disinformation and extremism. And, of course, their radical leftist anti-American and anti-constitutional agenda is not extremism. No, no, no. Nor do they view their radical ideology as disinformation or misinformation. The intolerance of these anti-Americans is to dismantle the Bill of Rights. All five components of the First Amendment are under attack by the former president and former Secretary of State. Both individuals who took an oath at least twice to protect and defend the United States Constitution. They want their communist, their fascist ideology to be the norm in America. Here is Hillary Rodham Clinton's tweet. For too long, tech platforms have amplified disinformation and extremism with no accountability. The EU is poised to do something about it. I urge our transatlantic allies to push the Digital Service Act across the finish line and bolster global democracy before it's too late. We should not stand for this. We cannot stand for this. We must reject this radical anti-constitutional behavior, especially coming from a former United States Senator and Secretary of State. I mean, did you hear the hubris in this deceitful and dishonest woman? For too long, platforms amplify disinformation and extremism with no accountability. This is the same woman who falsely political opponent
for the United States presidency as being a Russian asset. She falsely accused, and she followed Hillary Clinton on 2016 uncovered a covert server linking the Trump Organization to a Russian-based bank. This deceitful woman knew the story was collusion narrative and used the tech platforms to disseminate the disinformation. Now the holier-than-thou Hillary Rotten Clinton wants to curtail speech in America. And did you catch her last sentence in the tweet? I urge our transatlantic allies to push the Digital Services Act across the finish line and bolster global democracy before it's too late. Bolster global democracy? Global democracy. Could that mean a new world? Al, do you have the clip of Marxist Joe Biden confirming the New World Order? Here's Joe in his own words.
We are at an inflection point, I believe, in the world economy. Not just the world economy, in the world. It occurs every three or four generations. As one of the top military people said to me in a secure meeting the other day, 60 million people died between 1900 and 1946. And since then, we established a liberal world order, and that hadn't happened in a long while. A lot of people dying, but nowhere near the chaos. And now is a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it. And we've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it. So anyway.
Yeah, there's going to be a new world order out there. Global democracy. It's exactly what the radical leftists, what the anti-Americans, what the anti-constitutionalists in America want. They want a new world order. And you see, this is the global democracy. This is what you have to watch with Hillary Rotten Clinton. You demonize your political opponent. You dismantle the U.S. Constitution. You destroy our constitutional republic within. While old Joe may be senile, he serves a purpose to be used and abused while the Clintons, Obamas, and Rices start implementing their anti-constitutional agenda. We all know that the left despises the second. Summed up Hillary and Obama campaign of disinformation tour. Robert went on to say, everyone also knows, of course, that when Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, they don't mean false or inaccurate statements that they themselves or their allies have made. The only disinformation they have is that which comes from their political opponents. Entirely true. New York will be classified as disinformation and censored accordingly if Hillary and Obama and company decide that it is not expedient for the advancement of this leftist narrative. However, this is not the first attempt to curtail free speech in America by Hillary Clinton or Obama, because when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State under the Obama administration, she attempted to curtail the First Amendment in numerous ways, including at the United Nations. In 2009, U.S. government linked its support to a U.N. Human Rights Council resolution, which would be UN Resolution 1618, declaring that negative racial and religious stereotyping should be outlawed. The resolution stated that UN members condemn and criminalize any advocacy of national, racial, religious hatred that constitute incitement to discrimination, hostility, or violence. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we know and tried to do was to circumvent the U.S. Constitution. Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution states that the U.S. Constitution shall be the supreme law of the land. Bound thereby. and for a sitting Secretary of State, a former U.S. Senator, to espouse the idea of circumventing the United States Constitution is treason. And the fact is that Barack Hussein Sartori Obama is doing the same goddamn thing. This was known as UN Resolution 1618, the fraudulent resolution crafted to deceive the West and to dilute free speech in America. And mind you, it's anti-constitutional. Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution says so. A move by the OIC to implement domination and superiority in America. But so far, Canada has succumbed under Margaret Trudeau's little boy's, leadership with the passing of... Professor brilliantly continues to outline a case against Hillary Rodham Clinton in his pajama media article. Then, in notorious remarks at a meeting of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation in 2011, Clinton claimed that in the United States, I will admit there are people who still feel vulnerable and marginalized as they religious beliefs. And we have seen how the incendiary actions of just a few very people, a handful in a country of millions, take ripples of tolerance. She blamed this on the freedom of speech. She blamed it on freedom of speech. We also understand that for 235 years, so we are focused on promoting interfaith education, collaboration, enforcing anti-discrimination laws, protecting the rights of all people to worship as they choose, and to use some old-fashioned techniques of peer pressure and shaming. In other words, it's called bullying, so that people don't feel that they have to support to do what they abhor. And don't you notice what we are seeing today? And shaming by the left wing. Their dogmatic view of the First Amendment tells people that 10 years later, this is what the left wing has implemented in their arsenal of disinformation, peer pressure, and shaming to silence their political opponents. You know, you're to shame people for their the parents in Virginia, in the state of Virginia, their beliefs that there shouldn't be two bathrooms or one bathroom and allowing cross-dressing males to enter female bathrooms or female locker rooms. And then shame those parents for their... You can't say that. I mean, it means, you know, you can't say what it means because you're a mean individual. You notice how Hillary dances around with her carefully crafted verbiage by using freedom of expression instead of freedom of speech? And Hillary's continued use of the word democracy versus America being a constitutional republic? You know, the Democrats, Marxist progressives, they cannot use the term republic because that word is too close to the term Republican. And in addition, the use of the term republic also gives the connotation of America being a constitutional republic. And that is what the mission of the anti-Americans such as Hillary Clinton and Barack Hussein Sartori Obama, they want to dismantle America. They want to dismantle implement interfaith education. In other words, indoctrinate and use peer pressure to shame Americans who do not espouse their radical left-wing ideology. Label and silence them by calling them bigots. Peer pressure. Shaming. Notice how the left wants to implement UN Resolution 1618 to combat same Democrat America who stands and Omar and Rashida Mother who assault and malign the term. Omar wants you to think that we all must hold those who marginalize Jews in America and the state of Israel at every turn, and then
Democrat Communist Party. And the end game is the same. The end game is a party in America. And this is exactly what Clinton and Obama are doing, destroying America from within. Doing the Muslim, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood wrote for a memorandum in 1984. The work in America is a kind of from within. And the Marxists know how you destroy in. Hillary and Clinton are a king. And this venomous attack against free speech is metastasizing. The real peddlers of disinformation are Hillary Rodham Clinton and Barack Obama. Even worse, now that a former U.S. president is weighing in on the First Amendment and his campaign of disinformation by actively redefining freedom of speech, Spencer didn't stop with Hillary Rodham Clinton's attempt to destroy free speech in America. He also is awakening, and I'm sorry, Holger, for using the term awakening. He's also awakening America as to what another anti-American and anti-constitutionalist is doing with Barack Hussein Totoro Obama. 2 weeks ago, Obama stated he called for regulatory measures to rein in online disinformation. Well, I wonder if that would mean that the phony Russian collusion would be reined in, that the Democrat Party was furthering. I wonder if they're going to rein in those who destroyed the character and assassinated Lieutenant Colonel Michael Flynn's character when they falsely accused him of being a Russian asset. Huh? No, that's right. What am I? You know, I'm sorry. It's almost like talking about Benghazi and that, as if Clinton and Obama really cared about the four dead Americans. So the campaign of information, Thursday he amplified the call claiming that the First Amendment simply doesn't apply to the social media giants who have so much control over the parameters of public discourse today. Obama, speaking at Stanford University, he repeated a claim he has made before, which doesn't grow any less ridiculous by constant repetition. Obama was claimed that pretty close to a First Amendment absolutist. But no sooner had he said that than he explained that the First Amendment really didn't matter in discussions about today's public square. This is what Obama is doing at universities and colleges, which, again, I woke up this morning at 1:30 in the morning, and I'm thinking about Prairie Fire. Prairie Fire was a manifesto that was written by Marxists, and that would be Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers and two other friends. And the significance about Prairie Fire and Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers is those two individuals specifically launched the political career of one Barack Hussein Totoro Obama. And this is what Obama says, but no sooner had he said that than he explained that the First Amendment really didn't matter in discussions about today's public square. It most certainly does matter. And just because this feckless Marxist anti-constitutionalist Obama says it over and over again doesn't make it right. You want to talk about a campaign of disinformation and misinformation? Obama is guilty of all charges. The First Amendment, Obama deigned to explain, is a check on the power of the state. It doesn't apply to private companies like Facebook and Twitter. Obama has not been known up to now as a strict constructionist regarding the Constitution, which he has been only too happy to regard as an eternally malleable living document when it served the leftist agenda to do so. But strictly speaking, he is right. The First Amendment says Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. But Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and Instagram and all the rest can restrict speech all they want because they are not government entities subjected to regulation by Congress. That's an absolute lie. and it's totally false. But if that's the case, then if that's the case, then a judge in the state of Florida, a U.S. judge, must throw out Disney Corporation's suit, maintaining their free speech was infringed upon with House Bill 1557, the parental rights bill, and stating that the state of Florida dissolving Reedy Creek special tax status was a payback, was a penalty against their support, their opposition to House Bill 1557, which is a parental rights bill. It's not Don't Say Gay bill. It's what the left has redefined and falsely redefined in their campaign of disinformation. So now you've got a corporation, Disney, is going to cite their free speech has been infringed upon, but Barack Hussein Satoru Obama is going around to colleges and universities saying that free speech doesn't apply to corporations. Which is it? You can't have it both ways. It's real easy to follow. Obama is a liar. He goes to left-wing venues, safe havens, and spews his anti-imperialist, pro-prairie fire agenda. And this is what his buddies who launched his political career are relishing. The campaign of disinformation with Obama's propaganda tour of lies and misinformation. Obama is spreading dangerous ideas. He declared, while content moderation can limit the distribution of clearly dangerous content, it doesn't go far enough. Oh, really? It doesn't go far enough to limit somebody's speech? This is Marxism. This is treason. This man took an oath twice to protect and defend the United States Constitution. Excuse me, three times to protect and defend the United States Constitution. And now this former president, this former U.S. senator, is now stating that the limits of speech don't go far enough. You see, this is what Marxists do. And this is dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. Obama laments about content moderation, obviously wanting the government to limit speech he deems to be offensive. He deems to be offensive. Obama's not the arbiter of free speech. You notice how he doesn't castigate Hillary Rotten Clinton for cheating in the 2016 elections or for creating a phony document that cost the American people $30 million and assassinated people's character. No. You see, Obama enjoyed that because it was an attempt to destroy political opponents, because that's what Marxists look at. They want to destroy their political opponent by any means. And Obama uses the First Amendment to destroy the First Amendment. So Obama laments about content moderation, obviously wanting the government to limit speech he deems to be offensive. He then stated that free speech regulation can't be applied by the government, yet he wants government to regulate speech. You see how convoluted these Marxists try to muddy the waters? Obama went on to say, he left unexplained, going on to complain that over time, we lose our capacity to distinguish between fact, opinion, and wholesale fiction. Or maybe we just stop caring. Speak for yourself, Barry. Our brains aren't accustomed to taking in this much information this fast, and a lot of us are experiencing overload. But over time, we lose our capacity to distinguish between facts, opinion, and wholesale fiction. You know, folks, the fact is, the social conditioning by a community organizer, the Marxist Obama, and his radical left-wing anti-Americans is to condition Americans into believing what dogmatic views Hillary and Obama spew are fact, that their opinion, their propaganda is truth, and it's not. It's a flat-out anti-constitutional, and they are using big tech to censor Americans, to censor speech, to demonize and shame anyone that they deem as their political opponents. You see, Clinton and Obama have now amped up their propaganda machines, and their new campaign is to deem anyone not on the left side of the political aisle as propagating disinformation. Just in time for the 2022 midterm elections, because these leaders of the Democrat Party know their party and their radical anti-constitutional belief system may be in jeopardy. And we are sounding the alarm, ladies and gentlemen, right here on Global Patriot Radio. This is not an old issue. This is a new issue, and it's a revived issue. The left wing, the swamp, the anti-Americans are stepping up their propaganda machines. Two perceived heavyweights of the Democrat Communist Party have been dispatched to launch their campaign of deceit in 2022. That would be former President Barack Hussein Totoro Obama and former Senator Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton. This should be distressing to all Americans, irrespective of party affiliation. We have seen what the process of dumbing Americans down is doing to our education system, to our youth today. Now the Democrat Party is doubling and tripling down to destroy our Bill of Rights of our U.S. Constitution. The new campaign of deceit is to use the terms disinformation and misinformation, and is contrary to what James Madison wrote in the Federalist 10. Here's two quick points. There are two methods of curing the mischiefs of faction, the one by removing its causes and the other by controlling its effects. There are, again, two methods of removing the causes of faction, the one by destroying the liberty by which is essential to its existence. The other is by giving to every citizen the same opinions, the same passions, and same interests. Destroying liberty is exactly what we're seeing Barack Hussein, Totoro Obama, and Hillary Rodham Clinton attempt to do. They are attempting to destroy liberty in America. Obama signed into the Weather Underground, signed onto the Weather Underground Communist Manifesto to destroy liberty. Madison goes on to say, the other by giving every citizen the same opinions, the same passions, the same interests. I mean, why don't we all wear gray suits? Why don't we all drive a Yugo, a white Yugo at that? No, make it a tan Yugo so that it weather-driven. We don't want anything too bright. You see, this is the mindset of the utopians. But you know what? Madison, James Madison, former president of the United States, knew how destructive this type of socialism could be to a society. You want to give citizens the same opinions, the same passions, and the same interests? This is why the First Amendment was written. That's why freedom of speech is the essential part of our Bill of Rights. They rejected communism, folks. This is censorship, and our founders knew that this would destroy liberty, destroy freedom, and this is antithetical to our constitutional republic foundings. I would urge you to read Federalist Number 10, written by James Madison, and I believe it was 1787. It is absolutely brilliant writing. We're talking about 35 years ago. James Madison, one of our founders, had the intellect to foresee this type of destruction coming from within. He warned about politicians, about individuals who espouse the same opinions, who want the same passions, who want the same interests. We are not communist China. We are not communist Russia. We are not the old Soviet Union. We are the United States of America. We are a constitutional republic. We believe in individual freedoms and liberties. We have the freedom of thought and the freedom of expression. And just because you don't agree with my opinion doesn't make me a bad individual. But now we have a faction that wants to take the very part of our governance away, and that's freedom of speech. They want to destroy the very liberty that has made America great, freedom of speech. We're already seeing it in colleges and universities around America, demonizing anybody who seems to be on the right side of the aisle, who espouses capitalist and free enterprise opinions. Madison warned of this. And that's the reason why our founders did not create a true democracy, a republic. And what he meant by a republic was a government in which the scheme of representation takes place, opens a different prospect, and promises the cure for which we are seeking. Let us examine the points in which it varies from a pure democracy, and we shall comprehend both the nature of the cure and the efficacy which must be derived from the union. And two great points, the difference between a democracy and a republic are, first, the delegation of the government, and in the latter, to a small number of citizens elected by the rest. Secondly, the greater number of citizens in the greatest sphere of the country over which the latter may be extended. And I'll tell you, Al, the other document to read after you read the Federalist, especially Federalist 10 to start with, read them all in order, but Prairie Fire, that's written by Bernadine Dorn, Bill Ayers, Jeff Joseph, and Gila Sojourn, will give you an idea of what this radical anti-American ideology is about. And what we're seeing happening today in the United States of America, we can look to Prairie Fire as a means, because these individuals, these Bill Ayers, Bernadine Dorn, Jeff Jones, and Gila Sojourn, all supported the radical anti-Americans. They supported the Che Rivera's, the Fidel Castro's. They loved Lenin. They loved Marxism. Excuse me. Sorry. This will open your eyes. But listen, this is where Obama was born, okay? He was born into Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn's ideology. Although Frank Marshall Davis was his groomer, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn are the facilitators of Obama's anti-American, anti-constitutional belief system. Thank you for letting me opine. I think I got internet back, but I just want to say thanks, and I hope it got through.
Hey, well, those are good words, good books that everybody should read. And how this goes into practicality is, what does a Marxist world look like? What do the Marxists want? Well, Marxists need a universal set of rules applied to everyone equally. And those rules would also govern capitalism, because the Marxists believe that capitalism is the source of all that is wrong in this world, Vito. Marxists believe that capitalism has become too big for any one nation to regulate. People are hurting, and it's up to the Marxists, because it's within our power, to stop the hurt. Marxists believe that they are a noble species. It is the Marxist duty to lift people out of despair. The only way to do that, though, is to challenge global capitalism head-on with redesigned international institutions and far more encompassing international laws, all overseen by a Marxist-led global governing body. Is that the world you want for yourself? Is that the world you want for America? I don't. I love our representative republic, our constitutional republic. We don't live in a democracy. I hate these idiots that say that we do live in a democracy, because they don't understand that a democracy is 50% plus one. Majority rules, minority have zero rights. A republic is the best form of government on earth, and the Marxists want to change that. For those reasons, because they believe that they are a noble species, and they believe that the global, that's what globalism is, they believe that global governing body should control the whole world.
That's, you know, Alan, that's what makes the Federalist Paper number 10 even more prophetic. You know, you've got Madison writing about having one voice, having one passion, having the same interests. Well, you know, I seem to remember that the Marxists do a pretty good job of making sure everybody toes the same
Marxist principles, that everybody drives the same kind of car or rides the same kind of bicycle. And everybody is uniform. They wear the same outfits. It's the same dull gray outfits. And yet, this is what these utopians want to implement here in the United States. I mean, this is incredible what we're seeing today.
They want to do it worldwide, and people forgot how the big stack of dead bodies that Marxism and socialism have created and built within, gosh, practically within our lifetime. Lenin killed millions. Marx, he was the father of all of this death and brutality, because if you disagree with them, you become a part of the problem and you must be canceled permanently. And that's what makes...
Exactly.
I tell you, that is... Yeah, and that's what makes Elon Musk so cool, because what he says, just about 3 hours ago, he put up a Twitter. He said, "Free speech is the bedrock of a functioning democracy, and Twitter is the digital town square where matters vital to the future of humanity are debated," said Mr. Musk. "I also want to make Twitter better than ever by enhancing the product with new features, making the algorithms open source to increase trust, defeating the spam bots, and authenticating all humans. Twitter has tremendous potential, and I look forward to working with the company and the community of users to unlock it." That's Elon Musk's vision for Twitter and his vision for free speech, because he understands the importance of it as much as we do, because in a totalitarian government, there is no free speech. In a Marxist government, there is no free speech. In a socialist government, no free speech. And as far as the Democrats here in the United States of America are concerned, if you don't speak their speech, you need to be canceled and silenced like so many of us have.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't speak their speech, they have a conniption fit, don't they?
Well, hell, look at Twitter. They're so freaked out over Twitter having a new owner, this Elon Musk. It freaks them out. For 2 years, they silenced anybody who spoke about alternative for the Wuhan virus, for COVID. If you had other ideas, like taking ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, if you even mentioned those two words, ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, you got banned from Twitter, from Facebook, from every social media site. They'd warn you, they'd put you in jail for 24 hours, and after that you mention them again, you're gone. It ends up now, 2 years later, that the vaccine did not work as advertised. It was a prophylactic, just like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, worked just as good without having to take the jab. Hunter Biden's laptop, 2 years ago, if you even mentioned it, you were kicked off Twitter or Facebook. And now we know that it's completely true. We know that the media literally spiked that story, called everyone who talked about this laptop, which the New York Times, well, within the last month, agreed that it existed and it was real. And now 2 years later, you can actually talk about it. They lied to us. They betrayed our trust. Nobody seems to care. Except for Elon Musk. He said, "Hey, I'm going to use this Twitter as the bedrock of free speech." Beautiful. Hey,
sorry,
Vito, are you back?
Hey, I'm back. Sorry. I got kicked off for some reason.
Put you to sleep.
Yeah. No.
See?
You're actually right. You brought up the Hunter Biden video. The Hunter Biden laptop and everything. And you know what's interesting with that is you had Twitter that quickly came to the aid of Joe Biden and the Biden crime family, and they deemed it misinformation. They deemed it disinformation. They decided that was not germane to their, and not the Germans, but that was not germane to their issue, was it? And then it turns out
that in fact the laptop is true. And to save face, a year later, the New York Times had to come in and had to offer a piece, an opinion to say, hey, you know, the laptop is true. Oh, wait a minute now. Did you apologize to President Trump? Have you apologized to anybody in the Trump administration who was deleted from Twitter? Have you apologized to James O'Keefe? You know, these people are still trying to control speech in America. And it turns out that President Trump was right, 100%. And it wasn't going after a political opponent. It just goes to show how much of a scumbag Hunter Biden and the Biden crime family truly are.
Mm-hmm. And it's leading in this invasion of Ukraine. We're not getting the real information. The Institute for the Study of War, give you a Ukrainian update for the day. Russian forces resumed ground attacks against Mariupol's steel plant in the last 24 hours. Russian officers may assess they will be unable to starve out the remaining defenders by May 9th, a possible self-imposed deadline to complete the capture of Mariupol. Russian forces will likely take high casualties if they resume major ground assaults to clear the facility. Russian forces are accelerating efforts to secure occupied Mariupol, but will likely face widespread Ukrainian resistance. Continued Russian attacks in eastern Ukraine took little to no additional territory in the past 24 hours. And on it goes. Can you explain to me how a superpower like Russia can't take a landmass the size of Texas quickly?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. Something's just not, it doesn't smell right. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what I think may be true, and this may be part of the answer then. So did you notice that after a month of the incursion into Ukraine, how many Russian generals were relieved of their command? There were five, I believe, right? So then you heard some information that the Russian soldiers were not aware that they were actually going to be fighting in Ukraine and killing Ukrainians, which were many of Ukrainians are relatives or they perceive as being brothers and sisters. So suddenly you've got the Russian army at an impasse because many of those individuals in the Russian army, they weren't there to fight Ukrainians. They were there for maneuvers that they were told. So was that part true? And so then all of a sudden you've got the despot of Vladimir Putin, because let's face it, the guy is a communist to the core. What does he do? He buries his hatchet for a few days, and he enlists the help of who? The Chechen rebels, who he has kept at bay for the last 10 years, 15 years, right? I mean,
Chechen
Vladimir
Muslims.
Putin is an Chechen Muslims, right. I said rebels, excuse me. So now he's brought the Chechen Muslims in there, who are notorious individuals. They are brutal. And the first thing that they started doing is they started imposing their brutality. And the Ukrainians were fighting back. So maybe it's a situation where not all the Russians are buying into the Putin despotism of overtaking the Ukraine. You know, Crimea was pretty easy. They walked in, pretty much took it without a fight. And, of course, Obama Biden did nothing. And now on the other side of the coin, you got Biden, Harris, Obama. And once again, the weaklings. And all they're doing is they're throwing money. They're throwing money. You know, we can't feed our veterans. We have people paying who can't afford to put gas in their car. But Biden is giving how much? What was the latest total? $180 billion? To the Ukrainians.
Exactly.
So, what do you think?
Well, I thought, you know, at first, it's like, well, you know, Ukraine used to be a Russian outpost. Ukraina in Russian means furthest outpost of Russia. So they were taking back their land. But now I got to thinking, you know what? These Russian commie bastards, once they start taking land, they don't stop.
Right.
Ever. They are megalomaniacal all throughout time immemorial since they've been in existence. The Russians are evil commie bastards, and we should be stopping them with everything that we have. And in fact, President Trump actually armed the Ukrainians with enough of these missiles to take out the tanks. That's what they used to stop all the tanks. And then Biden didn't back up the Ukrainians. He didn't support them. I think that we should have done a whole lot more to support them. Like you said, throwing money at it, there's got to be more. And then Biden supposedly meeting with Zelensky. So, I don't know. I think they're going to take the Ukraine, and that when they do, then it won't make the newspaper anymore like it hasn't been for the last week. All of a sudden, Ukraine is not a problem anymore if you follow the mainstream media. Right now, the bright, shiny object is the free speech and Twitter and Disney.
Yeah, the free speech and Twitter and Disney. Free speech, you know,
all important. Well, yep, those are very important issues.
And you know, so are the gas prices in America. So are the gas prices. You know, so is energy in America. And you know, energy drives what we're seeing today in pricing. You have somebody who's on a fixed income now is paying 40% more for groceries. Oh, that's a lie. No, it's not a lie. Not a lie. There are people that can't afford to buy meats any longer as a result of these high prices. I mean, at one point you were paying $3.99 a pound for bacon, and now it's $8 a pound. I used to pay for bologna. I used to pay $2.99 and went to $3.15 a pound. Now it's $5.99 a pound for bologna. I love beef bologna. You know, I used to pay for a box at Costco for a 12 or 14 hamburgers, the Angus beef hamburgers. They were $11.99 for a box. I went there last week. It was $17.99 for the box. I mean, you know, this is all driven by high gas prices. When you go by the service station who sells diesel fuel, check out the price of diesel fuel, $5.25 a gallon, $5.45 a gallon, $5.50 a gallon. Do you think that those trucking companies are going to be eating the increased cost? Hell, my sister, I talked to her, she just filled a 193-gallon tank of oil. They just got done. They got through the winter. She was paying $380. She paid over $900. I mean, this is absolute insanity. It's absolute insanity. I'm sorry, $750 plus tax is what she paid. It went up $400.
Weaken our republic.
That's right. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. If you don't want to weaken our republic, you're exactly right.
You don't open the borders either. Let all these illegals in.
Yeah.
All these illegals, the reason that they're letting them in by design. President Biden wants all these illegals in, and he wants more because he knows that the majority of these will become Democrat voters. This is not happening by mistake.
Nope. It is not. It is not.
No, and the people and the cartels are getting incredibly wealthy on this human trafficking because human trafficking is more profitable than bringing drugs over. And if people die, so what? They don't care.
Do you remember when we were covering Ann Corcoran with the migration and Ann Corcoran was the refugee resettlement and was talking about how these charitable organizations were making crap loads of money off the American taxpayer. They would get paid like $2,000 a migrant, and how between 2017 and 2021 that money dried up because President Trump had the border closed and the migrants. So what was happening was these charitable organizations were going overseas so that their CEOs could still get paid $750, $1.3 million because there was no money in America any longer. And now they're back.
Oh, God, are they back. Jen Psaki even said today that the border wall did not work. The predecessor, not using Trump's name, said that the border wall failed, but the Biden administration is going to spend money on electronic surveillance and high-tech tactics and technology to close up the border. And they did that with President Obama, and it failed miserably. And she said this today in front of the world. And if you want to play a fun drinking game, and if you want to have a fun drinking game, Vito, and everybody else listening, the next time you see a Jen Psaki news conference or a clip on YouTube, you count the number of times that she says and every time she says you have to take a drink, and you'll find that usually she says about 8 ums per minute. And this is the great communicator for the Biden administration, soon to be a star on MSNBC. Snarky little bitch.
Do you hear this? Can you hear that?
The snark princess. Yeah.
So every time she's asked the question, she starts flipping through that stupid-ass binder. And you got to look at one, you know, she's talking about a nervous habit of trying to create an answer out of it. This is how dishonest this administration is. But you know what? The media is just as dishonest, and they're complicit in this. And they're doing the American people a tremendous disservice. They're doing a disservice because the American people are paying dearly. We're paying dearly with national security. We're paying dearly at the pump. We're paying dearly because this administration, this individual, this regime is beholden to the left-wing radical green agenda. And sadly, the American people are going to fork over trillions. Get it. I'm not talking about millions. I'm talking about trillions of dollars will be extracted from the American treasury to fund these illicit schemes of the Green Deal. And, you know, we're seeing it already happen. We're seeing it already that the American people are paying dearly at the pump. We all heard the slogan: if you make less than $400,000 a year, you won't be taxed one dime. Your taxes won't go up one penny. They've gone up dollars. They've gone up tens of dollars. You know, it's just absolute garbage that what we're hearing out of this administration. But it's sound bites. And this is what the Democrat Party does well. They create sound bites. And the sound bites of what? Disinformation. Well, now disinformation is a sound bite for the left wing. Okay? This is how they're going to demonize their political opponents. And it's okay. It was okay when Barack Hussein Satoru Obama went after his political opponents. He used the IRS to go after his political opponents, which was the Tea Party. He used the IRS to go after members of the media. And Biden is doing the same thing with the media. If you don't espouse the same views as these radical anti-Americans, guess what? They're going after you. And somehow we should be okay with this. I don't get it. Tell you what.
No, we are in the last days of Ramadan, a month without lunch, and the Muslims are fighting like crazy. Speaking of Muslims, they're killing and racking up large piles of bodies.
this is incredible. You know, with the Ramadan, I read something at Spencer's Jihad Watch about Ramadan, isn't it amazing the way the spin goes? And it's a month of peace. In the meantime, they talk about
it's incumbent upon Muslims to wage jihad during Ramadan, and then another time it's just, this is a peace. What is it, Al? Which one is it? I'm sorry.
Jihad.
Skip watching key people. Jihad, right.
Well,
jihad,
hell, they're doing it up on the Temple Mount. Yeah. Hell, they're doing it up on the Temple Mount. Riots. They're desecrating, the followers of Islam are desecrating their third holiest site, which is the Temple Mount and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. They're having riots up there, destroying their own holy sites, and the UN is silent. So that's Ramadan, also known as a month without lunch. Because in Ramadan, you eat a big breakfast, you eat a big lunch, you snack all night long, then you do it again, and you skip lunch. It's an inconvenience. It's not fasting. It's an inconvenience. So if anybody wants sympathy or they want special accommodations from you, just say, oh, gosh, Muhammad, it's not fasting. It's just a month without lunch.
Yeah, right. Yes, but hey, we have to have that interfaith dialogue, right? We have to have that interfaith dialogue. We have to have that UN Resolution 1618 to combat intolerance, unless, of course, you're a Jew. It's okay, then, to be intolerant of the Jewish state of Israel. It's okay to be intolerant of Jews. But the negative stereotyping and the stigmatization thereof, it's okay, though. You know, and this is what the fraudulence of UN Resolution 1618 is, Al. Reaffirming the commitment made by all states under the Charter of the United Nations to promote and encourage universal respect for and observance of all human rights, except in Nigeria, in Lahore, Pakistan, except in Saudi Arabia, okay, and fundamental freedoms without distinction as to inter alia religion or belief. And you see, this is what Hillary Rodham Clinton wants to do with our U.S. Constitution, supplant the First Amendment and put in a Sharia-based compliance, which is absolutely antithetical and treasonous, mind you say, to U.N. Resolution – I'm sorry, to U.S. Constitution, Article 6, Paragraph 2 of the U.S. Constitution. I'm telling you, this is how bold these dishonest individuals are. Obama is a dishonest individual. Jen Psaki is dishonest. But these are the types of individuals now who are at the forefront and pushing their radical leftist anti-American agenda. You know, Jen Psaki, you know, kindergarten teachers should be able to talk to children about gender identity. No, they shouldn't. A kindergarten teacher has no business talking to my five-year-old about gender identity. If I want my kid to know about gender identity, I will tell my five-year-old about gender identity, okay? You worry about teaching my kid in the government school A, B, C, and 1 + 1 = 2. I don't give a shit about gender identity. You don't teach my 4- and 5-year-old gender identity. And this is a sickness by these perverts that are on the left-hand side of the aisle. I'm sick of them. They are sickening. They're absolutely sickening.
Yep. I'll tell you, anybody who even wants to talk to a kindergarten to third grader about sexual matters is a sick individual. And they need to be taken out of the school system instead of trying to be protected. That's how crazy things are. But the American people are standing up. Mothers are standing up against this madness, and it's having a positive effect. So keep screaming, keep talking. And we got some breaking news, more good news. Judge temporarily blocks Biden's rescission of Title 42. A federal judge in Louisiana says he intends to block the Biden administration's plans for rescinding Title 42, siding with the GOP-led states who had asked for the courts to force the White House to temporarily retain the pandemic-era border policy. Title 42 essentially says you can't let illegal aliens, well, you shouldn't let them in anyway, but you can't let aliens or migrants in due to pandemic restrictions. President Biden wants to take that off so he can open the floodgates, which we touched on earlier. But apparently, Judge Robert Summerhays, an appointee of former President Trump, will prevent the Biden administration from carrying out its plans to end Title 42 on May 23rd and once again allow migrants to seek asylum. Thank God for the rule of law being applied by Judge Summerhays.
You know, that's what, even though Trump didn't get reelected, you know, there's a lot to be said for, you know, President Trump's judicial appointments, isn't it?
Oh, it's huge. Judicial appointments are huge. That's why we have a three-party system, judiciary, executive, and then the House and the Senate. And these three should be fighting each other, as they should.
Yeah.
And then they fight each other, and nothing gets done. And you don't let one branch of government take over your powers. You fight to maintain your powers, and then that keeps our republic functioning smoothly. Unless you have a president like Obama and then now Biden, who are breaking every rule that they can and doing illegal activity and saying, well, we'll do it now. I'm signing an executive order. You don't like it, file a lawsuit. And then a year later, we'll rescind it. So this is happening before, and this is great news. So we are making advances. So this is bright sunshine. Be happy.
You know, we are, and I tell you, I only got about 15 minutes left, and I love that Robert Spencer's on a roll. I love his articles. You got to check out the article on Obama and Hillary Clinton with regards to the new campaign of disinformation propaganda that they're doing. But Spencer also has a story, Ilhan Omar's foreign policy. So I decided to read it yesterday, and it was pretty interesting, actually. So it turns out that Ilhan Omar has family ties to Russia. Her brother-in-law, Mohammed Kenya, was the chief of staff for former Somalian Prime Minister Hassan Kari, known for all but giving his country's oil reserves to the energy company Soma Oil and Gas, which is controlled by a Russian oligarch and Putin ally, Alexander Deparadides. Omar's father was a Soviet-educated colonel in the Somali army during the 80s under the Russian-backed regime of Saeed Bari. Omar and Tlaib are the two most anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian members of Congress, and as such, their defense of Russia is unsurprising. The Palestinians themselves have been among the very few supporters of the Russian internationally. PA President Mahmoud Abbas had a warm telephone call with Putin on April 18th, which he declared his firm support for Russia, and Putin in turn declared his support for the Palestinians. Hamas, too, has just thanked Putin for this principled stand against Israel. In the middle of Ukrainian conflict, when Putin has been shunned by the civilized world for his war crimes, Palestine, both in the PA in the West Bank and Hamas in Gaza, stood by Putin. And so don't let that be forgotten. This is where it gets really interesting. And this is where Omar is a fraud. And when you protect this individual, as Nancy Pelosi has, by claiming she doesn't have command of the English language, that's when you know we're in trouble. But as long as she's a Democrat, she's a protected species, you know, for her fraudulence. What was Ilhan Omar's excuse for her pro-Putin votes? This is what Omar said. I don't support broad-based sanctions of any country. They are economic warfare, and we should all oppose them like we oppose military actions. Also, as humans, we are interconnected to the humans globally. We will direct or indirectly be impacted by it, is what Omar tweeted. What a bunch of horseshit. You want to talk about a woman who is an absolute fraud? She has the audacity to tweet out, holier than thou, that she doesn't support broad-based sanctions of any country. It's economic warfare. This anti-Semite, this bigot, is a fraud, because it is Ilhan Omar who supports the BDS movement. And what is BDS? BDS is sanctions on Israel. Wait a minute. Ilhan Omar, the two-faced wonder from Mogadishu, stated that I don't support broad-based sanctions on any country. Well, Israel is a country. She doesn't support broad-based sanctions, but she supports and Tlaib supports sanctions on Israel under the BDS movement. What not just a hypocrite, but what a freaking liar. This dangerous anti-American is in Congress. This woman actually votes for laws or against laws. This individual is in the United States Congress. She is a fucking liar. She doesn't support broad-based sanctions in any country. This is the sheer hatred and bigotry she has for the state of Israel. You know, she's not alone, because Tlaib and the other squad members, Alexandria Cortez, Ayanna Pressley, and the newest squad member, Cori Bush, they all champion the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement that targets the Jewish state and never worry about the impact of sanctions on Palestinians as well as on innocent Israelis. This lady is sick. She's absolutely sick. How she continues to be allowed to get away with this absolute, with her lies and her campaign of disinformation. I mean, she had actually had the audacity to tweet out, I don't support broad-based sanctions, as humans, we're interconnected to other humans globally. Do you not think that the Israelis are interconnected globally? They are human beings. Wait a minute. Let's ask a question of Ilhan Omar. Do you believe that Israelis are human beings? You know, this is a sick individual. She is one sick individual. Not to mention she's a fraud, she is a liar, and she's a cheat. And why not just tweet out things like Hillary Rodham Clinton does that mean absolutely nothing other than emotion? And that's what these leftists, they base themselves on. They base everything on emotion. The biggest supporter of BDS movement, and she has the absolute unmitigated gall to state that we're all humans interconnected to other humans globally. What a liar. Oh, my God.
Well, she's an international disgrace as well, because Representative Ilhan Omar ratcheted up tensions between the nuclear powers of India and Pakistan last week. She did this by visiting the disputed region of Kashmir under the auspices of Pakistan's newly elected Prime Minister Shahbaz Sharif, whom she met with during a recent trip to Pakistan. Her visit to Pakistani-controlled portion of Kashmir, known as Azad Kashmir, which is claimed by India, elicited an angry response from the Indian Foreign Ministry, of which India is one of the United States' main allies. We've noted that she's visited a part of the Indian Union territory that is currently illegally occupied by Pakistan. So now she is getting our ally India and heightening tensions between India and Pakistan. And there's been no retributions for her. No, the Democrat Party has not reined her in there, condoning her activity.
Oh, man. What a dangerous individual. Yeah, it is. It is. She's an international disaster. She's an agitator. And why, you know, this goes to show how corrupt the Democrat Party truly is. And again, it goes back to here you have the same party, the same Democrat Party. We'll go back to square one. What we talked about initially is the speech aspect of it. You have Obama going around the country, okay, to colleges and universities and talking about how free speech really isn't free. and it should not be free. Hillary Rodham Clinton doing the same thing. These are dangerous individuals. That's not what our founding principles are. These people despise our republic, and then you have these two-faced, dishonest little brats like Ilhan Omar, who goes around the country, goes around the world, and spews her campaign of disinformation. And if you dare bring out or speak out against this absolute insanity, the absurdity of Ilhan Omar, you're a hater, you're a bigot. Really? Well, what about Ilhan Omar, huh? What kind of a hater is she? Here she is, she talks about the economic warfare and how humans are all connected to other humans globally. And yet she's one of the biggest supporters of what? She's the biggest supporter of BDS. Oh, my God.
It's unclear who paid for Omar's trip to Pakistan, a state that has become a leader in promoting Sunni jihad and in influencing American politics through domestic Islamist franchises like the Muslim Brotherhood, ISNA, and other Pakistani forces. The State Department officials denied paying for the trip, and Omar's office isn't talking. The Republicans need to be filing paperwork immediately to find out who paid for her trip, where she's making she's making foreign policy between India and Pakistan all on her own.
Yeah, who's paying for it? Who's paying
Rogue.
For it? Has she declared
who's paying
it?
For it? Who's paying her?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yes.
It's rogue.
Exactly.
Rogue behavior.
It's dangerous behavior.
Dangerous.
Thank you. Destabilizing. That's really a great word, Al. It's destabilizing. You know, what do we have now? 535 members who are on the foreign policy now? 535 different views? No, we have a State Department. And who's funding Ilhan Omar for this type of action, huh? Who? Who? My goodness gracious.
Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood, I suspect, but
yeah.
The State Department should be all over this, but they're not. They're being told to, or it appears that they are being told to stand down based on their actions only, or lack thereof.
She's a sitting member of Congress. She has to file where this money is coming from. She can't just go on these trips. Well, she can because there's no accountability, but technically she's got to file who's funding these trips. That's part of being a United States member of Congress. So now is she like Eric Swalwell? Is she being influenced by a foreign government and she's sitting on key committees in the United States Congress? This is acts of treason. This is sedition.
Yeah, is she acting on behalf of the Pakistani government against India's Modi regime?
Right, as a Sunni Muslim, is she acting on behalf of the Pakistani government? Wow, great point. Great point.
Hey, Rona McDaniel. Hey, Republican leadership. Ding, 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 ding. Get on this quickly.
Ding, ding, ding.
Dopes.
Yeah, exactly. This is about flouting the laws. You've had several members of the Republican Party have been censored and asked to leave and removed from key assignments for doing much less. $1,400 for a golf trip, let's say. One previous member of the U.S. House, and now this woman is going and doing foreign policy on her own? And who's funding her? Legitimate question.
That's the question. America wants to know. Vito Esposito wants to know.
I do. But you know what? I also want to know is... tomorrow we have the Cross of the Crescent with Eric from Kafiristan with Radio Free Kafiristan. Wednesday we got Hank Jones and Polly Sports, 5:30 p.m. Thursday, Paul Sutliff with the author of Cancer of Civilization Jihad, the Sitlithian Report. Friday, Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday is at 5 o'clock. You've got Usama Dakdak and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan is back with his interfaith dialogue, the real interfaith dialogue. Check out Eric's work. And Monday, Alan and I will be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Hopefully, we'll have internet next week. other shows on Blog Talk Radio include GC and Dave with Airwaves America Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Andy, Southern Sense Talk Radio with the great Curtis Bennett as our sidekick. Friday at 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Mama mia. Sorry, Andy. Andy, Southern Sense Talk Radio, 1 to 4 p.m., okay, on Friday, Eastern Time. Cheap, Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio. One show that I really like is Simone Nicole's show on Spreaker.com, Spreker.com, the sister network of Blog Talk Radio. And I apologize, I missed it last week. I had some medical issues, but I'm doing good, so hopefully I won't pass out from the medication beforehand. So I apologize to Joshua for missing the show last week. But check him out, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Audrey Russo, Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Thursdays. Go to AudreyRusso.com. Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos. Have a great week. See you next Monday.
Hey, folks, thank you all for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it. Thanks for your patience. Sorry that we had some technical issues today. But, hey, be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and Hillary Rodham Clinton. Their desperate attempt to take away our free speech under our Bill of Rights. We should not stand for this. This is dangerous, it's anti-constitutional, and it's anti-American. So let's fight back. We are not going to stand for these Marxists, for these communists, to take our liberties and freedoms away for their draconian, their utopian, and their failed and miserable policies of Marxism. Fight back. Speak out. I want to thank everybody in the chat room, including Bigfoot, our big patriot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, Ducky Northwest, iGuy, nice to see you, Southern Sense Talk Radio, Annie, our diploma radio chick, the Alaskan Boyd, Gulf Dogs was in the house earlier, and as was Movin, and Sue was on the switchboard. Nice to see you all. You guys have a nice evening. Take care. We'll get Frankie take us out. Ciao, everybody. Be safe out there.
Bye for now.
What has he got, if not himself, then he has not to say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows, I took the blow.
It was my way.
That's all, folks.
Man, without a headset, I really butchered that.
Glad you got your internet up.
Oh, man. Hopefully it came through.
Hey, you did.
Right,
you did.
I don't know.
You did. Hey, yeah. You did good flying blind.
Hey, man, I'll tell you. I mean that issue. It really bothered me when I read those articles this past weekend. I mean, I read them at the Bigfoot's place, And then I went to Jihad Watch and then sort of pajama meeting. But that really bothered me. You know, here you have two former elected officials who are espousing the control of free speech in America. I mean, that is frightening.
Mm-hmm. What if they're successful?
Exactly. And they are close. They are close. I mean, I think that was the most important reason why they had to lie, cheat, and steal and get rid of Trump, because they knew that their agenda was in jeopardy. The only problem is, look how, I wouldn't say venomous. Look at the reaction of the American people with regards to the current economic state of affairs. Look how the American people are really, really and truly upset, put out, are absolutely disgusted with what they're seeing today. I mean, in what, 15 short months, in less than 12 months, we already had a whiff of what Biden is capable of doing, and it was disastrous. And now, 15 months later, it is absolute sheer chaos is what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
The only good thing is the Democrats are fighting each other as they should and not being as effective as they could be. So that's the only good sliver of light that I see, is that the Democrats are they just can't work together. They're they just can't, never have. They always self-destruct.
Yeah, and how much is it that the constituents, you know, in their respective districts are outraged? You know, we're fed a bunch of lies and propaganda by the media. I mean, just look at what happened in Virginia. To me, is a telltale sign that the American people are disgusted. And Glenn Youngkin gets elected, along with, you know, his lieutenant governor, and you've got the establishment insider was totally rejected, absolutely rejected. Terry McAuliffe rejected summarily, and you know the issue was, you know, you parents need to sit down and shut up, and you don't tell us how to raise your kid, you know. And then you got Jen Psaki coming out and saying, well, you know, you shouldn't question whether a kindergarten is taught about gender identity. What do you mean? Where are you getting this value system from, Jen Psaki? Holy cow!
If they want to hang their hat on that issue, then take it right to the bottom of the curb. Let them.
But they have to. Because that's the only, I mean, yeah. The more I read Prairie Fire, the more you read the Communist Manifesto, that's the only way that they can fraction society, fraction the republic, is with these radical belief system. They have to support that ideology, that transgender, this identity politics. They have to support it because they have no other cause. They don't support capitalism. They don't support free enterprise. They don't support the Constitution. So they have to go with the very cause that fractions society, and that's the identity politics.
Mm-hmm.
This evening, and
like, hey, no, you did good. You had a lot of good things to say. Very good show.
Thanks.
Take those notes, publish them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll clean it up a little bit.
Take them, put them up on the, put it up on the Facebook page. The Global Patriot Radio Facebook page.
You know, that really is a great idea, especially given how free speech is coming under attack. I mean, this would be the perfect opportunity to put that on there and really hopefully people would be inspired to fight back. And this is what we really have to do. We have to fight back against this leftist ideology. I mean, it's a cancer. And Obama and Clinton now are speaking as if what they say is fact, and it's not. It's absolute fiction.
Mm-hmm.
They are lying to the American people, and it's disgusting. It's despicable.
It is, no question. They don't stop. They're like the Energizer Hate Bunny. Not the Easter Bunny that yells at the president and tells him where to go.
Oh, did you see Monica Crowley's tweet about the Easter Bunny?
No.
You know who Monica Crowley is, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, oof.
Yeah.
Hubba hubba.
Yeah. Monica Crowley said that was Susan Rice in the Easter Bunny outfit.
There she is. Yeah, I just pulled her up. Blah, 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 blah. What'd she say again?
Oh, now, she said that, you know who was in that Easter Bunny outfit? In that costume? It was Susan Rice.
Who? Oh.
I love Monica Crowley. She absolutely has some great, she has some great zingers in there, man. She tells it like it is. I think she'd be interesting in the character as well. She worked with Richard Nixon President Nixon at one point. So I thought that was really cool. In his later years, post White House, that would be. I find Nixon fascinating, and it would be really cool to talk to her about Richard Nixon to get an insight. You know, forget about all the minutia and all the the hate and stuff, but it'd be kind of cool to get an insight into the man.
See if you can get her on the show.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder if she'll do it. Might be a good idea. We should start a radio show. Maybe we can get people on like that.
Hey, can't hurt to ask. All you got to do is ask.
Ask. All right.
All right, well, you have a great week.
Thanks, you too. Have a good one. I'll speak to you later.
All right. You take care. Adios.
Ciao. I'll talk to you sometime this week.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Music Blog. Have a great